Well, welcome everyone. This is the message portion of our Sunday online service, and I'm really glad you're here. My name is Richard Sockel, and I am a member of our teaching team. I also serve at the Ventura Vineyard as an elder and do some other different things. So it's great to be here all together, though virtually, and so I'm going to be bringing us the message today. If you're a regular part of our community, welcome back. And if you're a visitor, perhaps you just found us online today for the first time, really excited that you're here to be with us this morning. So here is a placeholder. Okay, this is a 7-word placeholder. So hold on to these 7 words and we will come back to them shortly. So Jesus, come to show us God's love. Jesus, come to show us God's love. Quick announcement, this is Communion Sunday. We will take communion together at the end of the message. Gather your elements together so that you will be ready when the time comes. So here's a quick review of the last 3 weeks. We are in the 4th week now of the series, The Gospel, The Good News. Euangelion in Greek, which is translated the gospel in English. It means the happy announcement. The happy announcement that the king has come. The happy announcement that the king has established his kingdom of peace. This is the happy announcement. Jesus is the good news. But what does that mean for us today? Kings and kingdoms may seem really abstract to the modern person. So this teaching series has been about learning, living, and giving the gospel. Our teaching team hopes that the messages in this series will assist us in doing just that, learning, living, and giving the gospel. And as to giving or sharing the gospel, Jesus instructed his followers to spread the message. The question is, how do we do that in our modern context? We can probably think of ways that we shouldn't do it, or we have seen ways that failed. To help us grow in confidence and move forward with our mission as a church community, we're doing a few things. One is we are reading a book called Reunion by Bruxy Cavey. We are committing to memory his gospel in 30 words. We're paying greater attention to the needs of those around us, to people in the spheres of our influence, so that we can love them well. And finally, we are inviting people into conversations about the gospel. The Alpha Course, being one of the tools that we have to facilitate these conversations, is running right now, and we're going to do another one again in the new year. So in today's message, I get to focus our attention on this part of the 30 words. Jesus, come to show us God's love. So receiving this gift of the gospel, it might serve to liberate us from fears about sharing it. And that's what I hope to show us as we move through this message today. So I want to read a text from 1 John chapter 4. Verses 7 through 12, and this is from the NIV. So 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 12. So dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And I'd like to just repeat verse 9, because this is part of our 7 words that we put as a placeholder. Verse 9, This is how God showed his love among us. So I'll underline that, showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. So this commission, instruction, mandate, whatever you want to call it, to spread the gospel, it's super clear, it's crystal clear from biblical texts. So first is Mark 16:15, and this is from The Message. So chapter 16, verse 15. Then he, Jesus, said, "Go into the world, go everywhere, and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whoever refuses to believe is damned." That's Mark 16:15. And again, in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 29, I'm reading again from The Message. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. "God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day, right up to the end of the age." So that's Matthew 28, verses 18 through 29. So now, according to research, nearly 100%, 94-97% to be exact, depending on the generation or the age group, 94-97% of Christians in all age groups agree that Jesus wants us to tell the message to others, spread it around, and invite people to participate in this life that Jesus offers. But there are problems. What we've got here is a failure to communicate, as we've been reminded by our series subtitle. So the troubles in communication, I think they're both external and internal. So the external problems are related to social, cultural, and political changes. And the internal problems are to do with attitudes and beliefs. Attitudes and beliefs, which, as it turns out, have been shaped by the environment we live in. A 2018 research article from Barna, titled "Reviving Evangelism," put it this way: "Sharing the gospel today is made harder than at any time in recent memory by an overall cultural resistance to conversations that highlight people's differences." So moreover, the research article went on to say this: "Today, a number of factors are curbing many Christians' enthusiasm for faith sharing, including the decline of religion in America, a spreading apathy towards spiritual matters, and a growing cultural suspicion of people of faith." And that's from an article called "Reviving Evangelism," Barna Research 2018. That there is a commission, the co-mission, what we do in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, as it said in Matthew, to announce Jesus' message, that's really clear. But there's a tension for many Christian followers. The tension is the knowing that we should share the gospel, wanting to share the gospel even, but not knowing exactly how to do it in a suspicious and suspect environment. So perhaps the first step is paying better attention to people around us, or just getting someone's attention. And once we have their attention, what do we say or do? If trust is important in relationships, how do we get someone to trust us? And once we have their trust, when do we tell them about the gospel? And how do we tell them about the good news of Jesus? What language do we use? What language do we avoid? What are words that create hostility or resistance? Should we avoid those words? And is the telling only about using words? Or is there something more to it. I came to faith as a teenager in a Southern Baptist church in a small town in Texas. And after I took that step, I publicly dedicated myself to Christ in front of the church community, as was the Baptist tradition. And soon thereafter, one of the youth pastors visited me at home, and she gave me a discipleship workbook. And in that meeting, she said, "Now you get to tell everybody you are a Christian." So I think outside I was probably deadpan, but inside I was terrified. What? Tell others? Why? How? Like, what on earth would I say? It just caught me off guard. And anyway, maybe some of you feel that way already, just from what I've said already today. But that was a long time ago. And now, as a middle-aged adult, when I hear the commission or whatever, again, whatever you want to call it in these texts like we read, I might have a different reaction. I might think that it's not okay to impose my religion or my point of view on someone. I might think that that is intolerant. It's even arrogant, perhaps, to convince someone that they are wrong and I'm right when it comes to belief or religion, Christianity, or even Jesus. I might think it is disrespectful not to affirm another's belief. I might think your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. And even if those truths are different or in conflict with one another, I might think that beliefs are relative and highly subjective. Furthermore, I might think that presenting the gospel to someone is a hostile attack on their culture or their cultural identity, especially if the person I'm interacting with has another faith or no faith. So this is a dilemma that many people in the church are experiencing. And if you are one of those people, how do we emerge from it? So if the gospel is understood as an ideology, where an ideology is defined as a system of beliefs, and it usually has political overtones, sharing it will be cause for the other to receive it as violence. Because ideology inherently creates a clash with a different ideology. It is confrontational. But what if the gospel is not an ideology? What if the gospel is not even a religion? What would it look like if there was no violence associated with sharing the gospel? No physical violence, no verbal violence, or any other kind of violence. You know, Pontius Pilate, he asked Jesus a question while Jesus was under interrogation. He asked, "What is truth?" So here, Pilate, a military governor in charge of Jerusalem, in charge of keeping public order with the military and political might of Rome behind him, Pilate, an absolute ideologue, is confronted with the person of Jesus. What is truth? But it was the wrong question. The real question was and is, who is truth? Truth is a person, and it cannot be an ideology. So similarly, when Jesus was arrested on the Mount of Olives, he said to the mob, "Am I leading a rebellion that you come with clubs and swords?" "No," was the obvious answer. "I am not leading a rebellion." It's clear to me that Jesus was not directly political, but it sure got the attention of those who were in power. Jesus caused a dramatic and hostile reaction to the gospel so that Jesus, in the view of the authorities and powers, had to be silenced. He had to be eliminated. So perhaps understanding the gospel message as something different than an ideology of violence or a religion to be imposed on people, maybe that takes some of the pressure off of us and possibly helps resolve these feelings of fear or inadequacy or insecurity about sharing it. So with current social trends and attitudes in mind, notwithstanding our own attitudes and fears about sharing the gospel, I want to take a closer look at this part of Cavey's Gospel in 30 Words. The gospel is Jesus come to show us God's love. The Gospel in 30 Words was developed by Cavey in his book, Reunion. And have you purchased the book yet? Have you started reading it? Well, if not, you can purchase it today with just a couple of clicks. So how are you doing with the memorization of the Gospel in 30 Words? So let's recite that together. So Jesus is God with us, come to show us God's love, save us from sin, set up the kingdom, shut down religion so we can share in God's life. All right. So Jesus, come to show us God's love. So I believe that the gospel has not and will not change over time. How people understand the gospel or how they apply it to life may change, but as we've already talked about in our previous messages, changes are either reductions of the gospel's fullness, misunderstanding of the gospel, or a result of problematic transmission of it. So in other words, the gospel, like God himself, is unchanging. The gospel, to use a term from metaphysics or philosophy, is immutable, so that the gospel transcends social, psychological, anthropological, any kind of development you can think of. So once the gospel, always the gospel, for all times. To use an analogy, the gospel is like music. God is the music maker. Jesus is the singer, and the gospel is the song. So the ways we listen to music may change over time. How we hear the song can be different, but the song remains the same. I think Led Zeppelin said that. So just think about your own music listening and appreciation. You know, when I first started listening to music, we had these vinyl discs. We called them records. And that gave way to a different format. It was 8-track tapes and cassette tapes. And then that gave way to another format, which was CDs. And then that gave way to MP3s and streaming online. So again, the song is the same, but the form, the format, the way we listen to it, the way we receive it changes over time. And so the gospel is definitely a love song. And with it, in it, our lives also become love songs. So Jesus come to show us God's love. Now, let's think more about the words show us. If you wanted to show love to somebody special, how would you do it? Would you prepare or plan a special picnic, maybe on the beach, or get your friends' favorite foods together, make a fresh green salad with organic tomatoes and fresh Parmesan cheese and balsamic vinaigrette dressing? Would you bring some wine to drink? Or, hey, guys, would you gather the crew for a motorcycle trip to your favorite watering hole? Or if you have a granddaughter or grandson, maybe you would create an educational IRA for them. So there's a lot of smart people in our community, and some of you might be thinking, well, how I would show love to the person depends on who they are, and it depends on what they like, their temperament, and their needs. Yes, I agree. That is the point. It depends on their needs. So author Gary Chapman, he wrote a book in 1992 called The Five Love Languages. And he has a website, fivelovelanguages.com, where you can identify your love language and understand the love language of the important people in your life. So on the site, it says this: you love each other, right? So why does it feel like you're not on the same page? The most common issue in any relationship is the communication barrier. Everyone experiences love differently, and it's easy to miss the mark when it comes to showing that you care. That's from Gary Chapman's website. So many are probably familiar with the five love languages, and just for a quick review, let's go over them. So number one is quality time. Number two is words of affirmation. Number three, acts of service. Number four, receiving gifts. And number five, physical touch. So what is your love language? My love language is words of affirmation, followed by quality time. So for me, I draw deep encouragement from experiences that affirm me as a person. When someone validates me or tells me they appreciated this or that, it really fills my tank. So, for example, I feel healed and built up by this declaration of God to Jesus, after his baptism, "You are my son whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." Or, "I am my beloved's, and he is mine," from the Song of Songs. I find it easier also to love when I am centered in my place as the beloved. So knowing a person's love language helps us love well. And I see Jesus expressing all five of these love languages in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He spent time with people. He spoke words of affirmation. He served. He gave gifts of bread and fish. He touched men, women, and children, and he made them well. Jesus is God's love language. When Brian Zond, the lead pastor of Word of Life Church, visited us at the Ventura Vineyard a few years ago, he said, "Jesus is what God has to say." And in an article, Brian wrote this: "Jesus is the true and living Word of God. Jesus is what the law and the prophets point toward and how bow to. Jesus is what the Old Testament was trying to say but could never fully articulate. Jesus is the perfect Word of God in the form of a human life. God couldn't say all he wanted to say in the form of a book, so he said it in the form of Jesus. Jesus is what God has to say." Brian Zond, pastor of Word of Life Church. So if Brian is right that Jesus is what God has to say, and if Gary is right that people have love languages, then it follows that Jesus is God's love language. Now, another suggestion to help us love well has to do with the Enneagram. Now, several people in our community are taking classes and learning more about this model of human personalities and temperaments, so it's right in our zone. Enneagram types given as numbers inform us about who we are, how we are. It identifies strengths and needs. And with regards to needs, knowing someone's number helps understand a person's needs. So as I said, that understanding helps us love better. Now, I'm an Enneagram 2. And twos are helpers. According to the Enneagram Institute, for twos, quote, "They are friendly, generous, and self-sacrificing, but can also be sentimental, flattering, and people-pleasing." I think that describes me pretty well. And twos, like all numbers, have particular needs, as I said. So they want to feel needed. That is, twos want to feel needed, appreciated, and affirmed. The only problem is that this can sometimes lead to a careless need to be needed or pride at how much other people have come to need them. So the suggestion that I'm making is that these tools and models, like the love languages, like the Enneagram, help us see others better. And it gives us clues as to how to love them well. So the process and goal of sharing the gospel, Jesus, come to show us God's love. Jesus, come to show us God's love. Now, David Kinnaman, who is the president of the Barna Group, he wrote this: "Cultivating deep, steady, resilient Christian conviction is difficult in a world of you do you and don't criticize anyone's life choices. And emotivism, the feelings first priority that our culture makes as a way of life. As much as ever, evangelism isn't just about saving the unsaved, but reminding ourselves that this stuff matters, that the Bible is trustworthy, and that Jesus changes everything. David Kinnaman, president of the Barna Group. So where do we go from here? Well, we have five action steps already laid out, so I'll run them by us again, okay? So the first one is we're going to read this book, Reunion, by Bruxy Cavey. Number two, we're going to memorize the gospel in 30 words. Number three, we're going to pay attention to the needs of those around us. And number four, we're going to invite five people to the online Alpha course starting in January 2021. And number five, attend the next Alpha course. So those are the five. So lastly, and in summary, let's continue to learn, live, and give the gospel in our current climate with the understanding that despite the challenges and failures and feebleness of our past attempts to share the good news of Jesus, knowing that Jesus is love and first loved us, it fuels our desire to be love and to love well. God shows us his love, real love, in the person of Jesus, not an ideology or a religion or some other thing. And we become Jesus in the world by loving. This path provides us with a non-violent way of sharing the gospel. So let's end with the 30 words, shall we? And then we'll take communion together. So Jesus is God with us, come to show us God's love, save us from sin, set up the kingdom, shut down religion, so we can share in God's life. And now, friends, we have the opportunity to take communion together because it is the last Sunday of the month, and our Ventura Vineyard tradition is to celebrate communion with one another. And I hope you've had a chance to get your communion elements together. And as we think about communion, I think of words that start with C-O, co, so communion, co-union, like cooperate, collaborate, co-labor. It's something that we do in relationship. And communion is co-union with Christ and with one another. So Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed at that last Passover meal with his disciples, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body broken for you." So let's go ahead and take the bread together. And a little while later, at that same Passover meal, he took the cup of salvation. He raised the cup and he said, "Now, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, a new promise." And so let's go ahead and take the cup together. And so we remember communion, co-union with Christ and with one another. So may God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace.